role of the arts is to question, interrogate, to listen, to respond. Those responses may be difficult, challenging, provocative, and that's the point.
Somewhere on the spectrum of amazed and terrified.
We rely on artists to inspire us, move us, and compel us to dazzle and rearrange our ways of thinking about absolutely everything.
But I just had this vision of bringing people from across our community together.
The expressions of who we are as a culture and a people.
The historical archive of our times.
Artists create the future, 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 future.
Hi, I'm Beck Bowman, and this is the Best of Artbeat for today, Friday, the 14th of October. On today's show, we heard from the CEO of Writing WA about the Ubud Readers and Writers Festival that is happening again this year at the Rechabite Hall. We also heard from Dr. Kate Gregory, the Batty historian at State Library of WA. She's giving the Wild Goose Lecture for this year, and it is a fascinating story of the last convict ship to arrive in Australia. We also heard from our Regional Arts WA Artist of the Month, Madeline Tiwu, about her new trilogy published through New Dawn Press. It is called The Assassin Thief. I'm Beck. I am with you until 12, talking about all things arts in Perth and beyond. Beyond including Ubud, Ubud Readers and Writers Festival is coming to Perth again in 2022, and we'll see writers from Indonesia, Singapore and the Ukraine join Australian and WA creatives for 3 days at the Rechabite Hall. Sharon Flindell is the CEO of Writing WA, and she joins us to let us know what we can expect from this amazing festival. Sharon, welcome.
Thanks very much, Beck.
So, I mean, Ubud is obviously not Perth. How is it that Perth is hosting this festival?
Ubud Writers and Readers Festival started back in 2004, I think. It was created by Janet Deneath, who is a long-term resident of Ubud, basically in response to in the aftermath of the Bali bombing. She felt that it was necessary to do something that would contribute to the healing process. So that was really how the festival started in Ubud. And then the relationship with Writing WA began a few years later with us sponsoring West Australian writers to go to Ubud and be a part of the festival there. And it's just, evolved very naturally from those origins. So a couple of years ago, when we were all initially in lockdown, Janet and I conceived a program called Kembali, where we were basically working to keep the connections between Perth and Ubud, Australia and Indonesia alive through that horrible process. And so we created an event that was purely hybrid. Obviously, in Perth, we were able to have audiences on the ground and we were able to have our speakers on the ground. But we also had Indonesian authors joining us from all over Indonesia and bringing that event into the Rechabite. So that was the sort of first outing, if you like, to create the model for bringing a larger version of the Ubud Festival here into Perth.
Does that mean that there will still be a Writers and Readers Festival in Ubud?
Absolutely. So what's happening is that our festival here in Perth is taking place on the 21st to the 23rd of October, and then the main festival in Bali will take place the following weekend.
Oh, amazing. So will the same people get to experience the same speakers, or are they going to be different speakers across the two sites?
Well, many of the same speakers will be joining us here in Perth. Obviously, our festival is a smaller version of the parent festival, But, you know, this year we're really excited for the first time to be able to go back to an in-person format. So all of our speakers are coming to join us here in Perth. We've got Janet joining us from Ubud, taking time out from festival preparations up there to be with us. We have an amazing Indonesian chef who's joining us to create a very special once-only, once-in-a-lifetime kind of meal, Chef Wayan Kresnayasa, who is one of Indonesia's most acclaimed Michelin-trained chefs, and he'll be cooking lunch for us on Saturday the 22nd in the Double Rainbow Eating House.
And of course, not just eating lunch, it's a literary lunch. So you get two Miles Franklin authors included with the Michelin chef. Jennifer Down and Josephine Wilson are going to be attendant at that event. Is that...
Absolutely.
How can people get tickets to this?
Well, I'd recommend they do it very...
They hurry up.
Going fast. So just jump onto the festival website, which is UWRF Perth, and obviously that stands for Ubud Writers and Readers Festival Perth. So UWRF Perth writingwa.org.
Because we are talking to Sharon Flindell, CEO of Writing WA, about the Ubud Writers and Readers Festival Perth. There is a bigger festival happening in Ubud the weekend after, but we get to have a little sneak peek into some of the sessions that are being held in that program. So tell me about the ways that international surf culture is being brought into a festival about books and reading and writing.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm really looking forward to this session. It's a conversation about the relationships that have been built between Indonesia and Australia by our surfers and the surf culture that has grown up between the two countries, the connections that have been made, for decades through, people's love of surfing. So we have Tim Baker, who is probably one of Australia's most significant writers and journalists who writes about surf culture. And he'll be talking with local surf writer Chris Binns. But the session's also going to include some fantastic archival film clips of Australian surfers in Indonesia back in the 70s. So the clips themselves are just kind of extraordinary to view. And they're going to be kind of backdrop to that conversation between Tim and Chris.
So it's really a lot about the ways that reading and writing are dialogue between the reader and writer, in the same way that the surf is part of the dialogue in between these cultures. What else can people expect from the program?
Well, the festival theme is uniting humanity, and I think, in this anniversary year of the Bali bombing, I think to be having a festival like this where people can come together and just immerse themselves in shared conversations is, a very significant opportunity. But, there's so much to choose from in terms of the content of the sessions and the different activities that are available. We've also got film screenings. We've got an amazing film by Jane Castle, which is titled When the Camera Stopped Rolling. And it's a documentary about mother-daughter relationship that, existed between her and her mother, Lilias Fraser, who was probably Australia's leading, trailblazing female filmmaker. And Jane's joining us for an in-depth conversation following the screening. So that's going to be a special event. We've got Indonesian children's authors who will be doing presentations in Bahasa Indonesia for families and children. As you said, we've got Jennifer Down, the current Miles Franklin Award winner, joining us. Really, there's a huge amount to choose from.
And people can choose from all of those at the website uwrf.com.au.
They can pick and choose individual sessions, We're also offering half-day ticket packages, which give greater savings on the individual prices.
Amazing.
I really recommend committing to a half-day and immersing yourself, or commit to a full day. Commit to the whole weekend. There's a lot to really get your teeth sunk into this weekend.
Sharon, thank you so much for joining us on Artbeat today and giving us a bit of an insight into the UBID Writers and Readers Festival in Perth, happening on the 21st to the 23rd of October. There's definitely a lot in that program to look forward to.
Thanks so much, Beck. It was lovely to talk to you.
The UBID Writers and Readers Festival is happening in Perth on the 21st, the 23rd of October, and the weekend after in UBID.
The role of the arts is to question, interrogate, to listen, to respond. Those responses may be difficult, challenging, provocative, and that's the point.
Somewhere on the spectrum of amazed and
terrified. We are now speaking to Dr. Kate Gregory. She is a baddie historian at the State Library of WA, and she is giving the Wild Goose Lecture for 2022. To tell us more about what the Wild Goose Lecture is and why it's important in WA history, here is Kate. Kate, welcome.
Thanks, Beck. Lovely to be with you.
It's so lovely to be with you. So the Wild Goose was a newspaper that 62 Irish Fenians wrote and published on the last convict ship to reach Australia in 1868.
That's correct. That's right. So, well, it wasn't exactly published. So it was actually a handwritten newsletter. There were seven editions, and it was written by the Fenian political prisoners who were on board the Hougoumont, which was, as you said, the last convict ship to come to Australia.
And so
they were all... Yeah.
What? Just to, you know, put my ignorance out there for everyone. I know I've heard the word Fenian before, but what does it mean?
Absolutely. So the Fenians were members of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. They were fighting for Irish freedom from British rule, and they gained popularity from about the 1850s through to the 1860s. And you've got to think, in Ireland at the time, you had the Great Famine going on. And, you know, this was a period of terrible disease and terrible, you know, mass starvation and hunger. And there was mass exodus from Ireland. You know, those who could leave did, and many, many came to Australia, of course. And, you know, it was felt that, you know, the British were profiting from Ireland while the people of Ireland were starving. So, you know, this really prompted, I mean, I think it had been, you know, in process for some period of time, but the desire for Irish freedom from British rule. And so this is where the Irish Republican Brotherhood, the Fenians as they were known, started. And so there were a group of 62 political prisoners, Fenians, who had attempted an 1866 uprising that had failed. And they were, you know, sent to the sort of British Victorian prisons, and then eventually 62 of them were transported to Western Australia.
And, of course, they were writing political pamphlets the entire time. One of them, John Boyle O'Reilly, was also a poet.
Well, that's right. So John Boyle O'Reilly, people would probably be familiar with that name. There's the pub, at least, in Leaderville, J.B. O'Reilly's. And it is a very kind of well-known name in Western Australia. So John Boyle O'Reilly...
Is that what that pub is named after?
It is indeed.
Oh.
I know.
I just feel like so many little clicks are happening in my brain right now. That's... thank you so much, Catherine.
That's absolutely fine. That's right. So this is, unearthing WA history. So that's right. So John Boyle O'Reilly was a journalist and a poet, young journalist and a poet. And he was actually a military Fenian. So it was kind of a more serious category from the civilian Fenian. So he had actually enlisted in the British Army with the aim of overthrowing the British government. and he basically what he did is that he was enlisted in the British Army, and was actively recruiting Fenians to support the cause for this uprising of 1866.
Yeah, wow.
So he was actually sentenced to death, but that was actually later converted to transportation. So, but as you said, I mean, many of these Irish Fenians were well educated, and so, you know, they produced this Wild Goose newsletter on the ship, the Hougoumont, and basically it was all sorts of stories, poems, anecdotes, songs, things to entertain the prisoners on the Hougoumont ship. And in fact, convict newsletters were not uncommon. So the State Library has got other examples of convict ship newsletters that were written on board convict ships. They're quite extraordinary documents, really.
What makes the this book of poems by J.B. O'Reilly so interesting and so intriguing?
Yes, it is. So we have in the State Library this J.B. O'Reilly book of poems from 1868. Now, I don't think that he wrote that on the ship. I think that he actually obtained this book in Fremantle because he was working in the Fremantle Prison Library with Father Lynch, who was the Catholic chaplain. Because he was literate, he was assigned clerical duties to assist with, you know, the Catholic chaplain. And as well as that, Fremantle Prison actually had a printing press and paper was readily available, and they mended books all the time. So I think it's likely that John Bill O'Reilly obtained this book when he was actually in the colony of Western Australia. He wasn't in Fremantle Prison before very long. It was only sort of about 5 weeks before he was sent to the convict depot at Bunbury. And in this period of time, over a couple of months, he wrote out this book of poems. Now, the book itself is a beautiful object. It's vellum bound, which is a type of leather. It's small, handheld. You could slip it in a pocket. It's got a beautiful kind of brass clasp. And it's about half full with J.B. O'Reilly's poems. And they are very much relating to his previous 5 years. So we've got poems about exile from Ireland, poems that are about the fight for Irish freedom. You know, they're very kind of patriotic. Poems that are sort of nostalgic and about time passing and for his childhood. They are all kind of from about circa 1864 through to 1868. And as well as that, on the front and the back cover, we've got this stenography, this shorthand code that for many years was untranscribed. So it was always a bit of a mystery. And the Book of Poems is dedicated to Father Patrick McCabe, who was the Roman Catholic chaplain in Bunbury at the time that J.B. O'Reilly was there. And I think the really extraordinary part of the story is that J.B. O'Reilly, some of your listeners might be aware, he ends up escaping in early 1869, March 1869, from the colony of Western Australia on a U.S. whaling ship, of all things.
Of course he did. Of course.
It's extraordinary. And he makes it to America, to Boston. And from there, I mean, he becomes a newspaper editor, you know, very high profile figure within the US. And he actually organises for the rescue of the remaining military Fenians still in Fremantle Prison in 1868. And of that of course, is the Catalpa escape, which some of your listeners might be familiar with.
You're saying, of course, and
people may not be aware. Some of them might be, though. So the Catalpa was a US whaling ship, and it came basically to rescue the remaining military Fenians that were still imprisoned at Fremantle Prison. So, and that was in 1876, and that was successful. I mean, it was just amazing to think of it.
It's really. Okay. So, when is this lecture happening? Like, Wild Goose Lecture 2022, where we get to hear you talk about all these things that just have frankly blown my mind in the last 5 minutes. Where is it happening, and when can we see you?
That's right. Oh, it'll be great. I encourage everyone to get some tickets. So it's at the WA Maritime Museum in Fremantle. And so next to Gage Road, it's this Sunday, 3 p.m. It's an Eventbrite ticketed event. So you can log on to Eventbrite and search for the Wild Goose Lecture or my name or John Boyle O'Reilly, and it'll come up. And, yeah, you can book a ticket. And it's just been so wonderful to be able to focus the whole lecture on this one book of poems. So it's just been brilliant to do this new research. And I've had my colleagues, both conservators and subject specialists, helped me along the way to kind of put together the story of this book.
Amazing. Thank you so much for making the time to tell us about this.
It's definitely
intriguing.
Absolutely. And the mystery of the stenography shorthand will be unveiled at the lecture.
Oh, can't wait. Kate, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Beck. Thanks for your time.
That was Dr. Kate Gregory, Batty historian at the State Library of WA, talking about the Wild Goose Lecture she's giving on Sunday. It is Cracking O'Reilly's Code, Assessing the Significance of John Boyle O'Reilly's 1868 Book of Poetry. If you have just tuned in, it's a bit of a cracking story. There's escapes, there's political prisoners, there's poetry. You can listen back on the website, rtrfm.com.au, or just head along on Sunday, 3 p.m. Down in Frio. That's the Wild Goose Lecture. You're listening to Artbeat. Next up, we're going to be talking to the Regional Arts WA Artist of the Month.
The role of the arts is to question, interrogate, to listen, to respond. Those responses may be difficult, challenging, provocative, and that's the point.
Somewhere on the spectrum of amazed and terrified.
Now we are going to be talking to October's Regional Artist of the Month. Every month we talk to someone who has been selected by Regional Arts WA as their Artist of the Month. For October, it's Madeline Tiwiu. She has written The Assassin Thief. It is part of a trilogy. She is joining us now to talk us through her writing journey, how she decided that actually she was going to sit down and write a book. Madeline, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
Hiya. So you loved books as a child, and then as a young adult kind of sat down one day and said, right, that's it, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it panned out, yeah.
Do you remember, did any one thing happen, or did it just kind of grow on you that you were like, nope, this is it, this is what I'm going to do?
I feel like lots of book nerds and you know, big book lovers always have this idea knocking around in their head that it would be nice to write a book. But it wasn't up until quite recently that I decided, no, I'm going to sit down and actually put pen to paper and put it into practice.
Yeah. And so you kind of ended up working all these odd jobs.
Yes.
Embracing rural life, a bit of hospitality, a bit of cattle station work. Does any of that make its way into your novels?
Yes, definitely. I feel like it helps me a lot when I describe the environment. So because it's a fantasy novel, it's not, you know, set in a world that we know. So it helps a lot with world building to be very descriptive of like bushfires or, you know, harsh summers where the grass is all crunchy and dry and things like that. So I think I draw on that quite a lot.
So there's a bit of transferable skills.
Yes, definitely.
What did you, I mean, when you sat down to write this book, this is now part of, a trilogy, right?
Yes, yeah.
So at what point during that writing process did you realise that it wasn't just one book, it was three books?
Probably not as soon as I should have, to be honest. So I started off as what in the writing world we call a pantser, as in you write by the seat of your pants. So I just sat down and started writing. I probably got, you know, a good halfway, two-thirds into my book before I went, I don't know where this is going. I've written myself into a corner and I'm stuck. So at that point I sat down and planned out the whole outline of the book and realised it was three books. So I did the outline for three books instead.
after you'd already written most of it?
Yes.
I think, you know, you said you found out too late, but, like, that's how we learn, right? Like, that's how we figure stuff out, is by doing it.
Absolutely, yes. It's been a huge learning curve and journey, but yeah, I needed to do those things to get to the point that I'm at now, and I'm a bit more confident going forward writing books 2 and 3, so it helps.
Can I ask about books 2 and 3? So, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like this idea of a strong female character is one, you know, it's a phrase that gets kind of thrown around quite a bit. What does it mean to be a strong female character?
So it was very important to me to write characters that are, you know, not just physically and mentally strong, but emotionally strong as well, and to have the character fall down and pick themselves back up at multiple points through the story, you know. So she is what we call a morally grey character, so she is quite questionable at times, but she just has that presence about her. You know, she doesn't want to lead, but she could if she needed to. So it's just that sort of badass character that we all love and you just want to get behind and cheer for.
Is there something about her that you kind of look up to yourself, or do you think she's more modelled on you? Like, do you want to be her, or do you think you are her?
I'm not sure. I feel like I pick personality traits from, you know, not just myself, but people around me, you know, like, so I have, from really close friends that are so fiercely loyal, I've taken that personality trait and added it in. And, you know, other friends that I have that always speak their mind no matter what, you know, so I've sort of just molded it from a bit from myself, I guess, because it would nearly be impossible to not put a bit of yourself into a story, but also just, yeah, people around me and people in my life.
I think that forming this character to be such a kind of well-rounded person is quite a struggle. Did you end up getting any support from other people in the writing community when you were putting this book together?
Yeah, so when I had finished my first draft and I had edited it to the best of my ability, and I'd got a couple of rejections when I had pitched it to agents and publishers, so something wasn't working. So I actually went online and did a couple of online courses through the Australian Writers' Centre, and that helps you give a good sense of community. They have social media pages so you can share manuscripts with other authors and give each other feedback. So that sort of helps, you know, get yourself into the community and help people, you know, add things to your story.
Amazing. So both the courses that you've done plus Regional Arts WA have supported you in this journey as you've gone to get this book published. It's called The Assassin Thief. You are doing a number of talks.
Yes, we are.
Tell us a little bit about where we can find you.
So the official release date is tomorrow, so Saturday the 15th. We will be tomorrow at the Bow Davis Library, or the Mary Davis Library, for our official release day. So we'll be doing a chat with another local WA author. We'll be doing book signings and readings out of the book. And we are also going to be in the city at Mount Lawley at Planet Books on Sunday from about 11 till 2, you know, doing some signings and sales and meet and greets and things like that.
Exciting. So you can check out Madeline's new book. It's published by New Dawn and it is called The Assassin's Thief. And that was the Best of Art Beat for Friday the 14th of October. You can restream the Best of on any streaming sites or tune in live Fridays between 9 and 12 on RTRFM 92.1.